From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, he continues to look at the life and ministry of Jephthah in one final message entitled Shibboleth. Chapter 12 of the book of Judges begins with Jephthah's war with the Ephraimites, the tribe who fought with the rest of Israel because they had not been asked to participate in fighting the common enemy, the Ammonites. The term Shibboleth was a test word used by the Israelites to distinguish the Ephraimites from the loyal soldiers. Those who failed the test were slain. In applying the lessons of the text to modern church life, Dr. Cairns first comments on the shibboleths that sometimes divide God's people, matters that are not fundamental Christian doctrines, but are pet distinctives that often lead to unnecessary separation and bitterness. Such divisiveness arises when human opinion is imposed upon a divine standard. Dr. Cairns will be with us in a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Divine Expulsion. The text is found in Joshua chapter 17 and verse 18. Thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron, and though they be strong. It is a great encouragement to valor to be assured of victory, for then a man goes forth to war in confidence and ventures where else he had been afraid to go. Our warfare is with evil within us and around us, and we ought to be persuaded that we are able to get the victory, and that we shall do so in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are not riding for a fall, but to win, and win we shall. The grace of God in its omnipotence is put forth for the overflow of evil in every form, hence the certainty of triumph. Certain of our sins find chariots of iron in our constitution, in our former habits, our associations, and our occupations. Nevertheless, we must overcome them. They are very strong, and in reference to them, we are very weak. Yet in the name of God we must master them, and we will. If one sin has dominion of us, we are not the Lord's free men. A man who is held by only one chain is still a captive. There is no going to heaven with one sin ruling within us. For of the saints it is said, Sin shall not have dominion over you. Up then, and slay every Canaanite, and break to shivers every chariot of iron. The Lord of hosts is with us. Who shall resist his sin-destroying power?
I wonder.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life and death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see the elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of Him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today.
We're going to finish up the studies in Jephthah by looking at the first six verses, but especially isolating verse 6 of Judges chapter 12. Judges 12, verse 1, "And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, Wherefore passedst thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim, and the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, Ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, Let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, Art thou an Ephraimite? If he said, Nay, then said they unto him, Say now, Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth. For he could not free him to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan, and there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Verse 6. Then said they unto him, Say now, Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth. For he could not free him to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan, and there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. There aren't very many Hebrew words that have found their way into popular English usage. The word Shibboleth is one of them. In Hebrew, it is generally believed that the meaning here is a stream. Very natural word to use since they were at the fords of the River Jordan. A stream. But the English meaning of the word has absolutely nothing to do with streams, nothing at all to do with its original Hebrew usage. If you look in English dictionary, you'll find that Shibboleth means a catchword, a word, a principle, an opinion, something of that nature, which is used to discover a person's nationality, his party, his sect, his belief, the group with whom he goes along, and those under whose banner he wages his wars. The origin of Shibboleth dates right back to this passage that we have been reading. Jephthah had seen a mighty victory over the Ammonites. Not too much to say that that period was one of the most difficult and one of the most dangerous and threatening in the entire times of the Judges. For one of very, very few occasions, you had enemies who themselves had nothing in common, were acting in concert, coming from both sides, one from over Jordan, the other from the coastland. The Ammonites feeling so strong that they could cross the Jordan, the Philistines coming in from the coast and putting the press on the nation of Israel. There was a tremendous danger. Jephthah was raised up to give a mighty deliverance, and God, by his Holy Spirit, came upon him. You'll remember, we pointed out there are only four men in the book of Judges of whom it is said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Othniel was one, Gideon was the next, Jephthah was the next, and Samson was the last. And as the Spirit of God came upon him, Jephthah saw the Ammonites driven back, the nation delivered. Then came the Ephraimites. I can't think of a more, to use a good American word, a more ornery bunch of people than the Ephraimites. You remember after Gideon's great victory, the Ephraimites came griping. And with soft words, he turned their anger into support. Gideon was not only a great soldier and a great saint, he was also a supreme politician. And so he got them behind him. Jephthah was a great soldier. He certainly wasn't much of a politician. And when these same Ephraimites came along, again complaining, why did you bother to go up to fight when we weren't there to help you? Jephthah got angry with them, took their threats very seriously, turned his army loose upon them, defeated them, and then mopped up those that had escaped at the fords of Jordan. The Ephraimites had a peculiar dialect. There are some words that they couldn't pronounce. You can tell where you come from very often by the way you pronounce a word. The Ephraimites could not pronounce the SH sound in shibboleth. Their speech betrayed them just as Peter's dialect betrayed him. You remember they said he was a Galilean. His speech betrayed him. So their speech betrayed them. And when they came to escape at the fords of Jordan, are you an Ephraimite? Not at all. I'm not an Ephraimite. I'm a loyal Gileadite. Let me over. Well, say shibboleth. They could not free him to pronounce it right. And as soon as they said sibboleth, they were put to death. There are many lessons that we could learn there. I think of Ephraim, as I say, an ornery bunch. Most despicable. I think that we have Ephraimites aplenty in the church today. The part that I don't like about these Ephraimites is that they never seem to be willing to fight the real enemy. But as soon as a man of God rose up and did fight the enemy, and he had won the victory, then they came and they were willing to fight with him. We find that all around us today. I am a fundamentalist. I'm delighted we have tonight a choir that's going over to sing at the Congress of Fundamentalism, representing all the continents. And as a fundamental Bible believer, I have to lament that there are many men, and they will not be there. They won't have anything to do except to fight with us. They're not really fighting the enemy. The enemy has encroached upon the land. There is a tremendous need for men of God and churches that believe to stand up and be counted and go and face the Ammonites and the Philistines and all the other of the devil's crowd face to face. But there are far too many of God's people sniping at God's people instead of fighting the real enemy. That was the sin of the Ephraimites. And anybody who does what they did, who needlessly disturbs the peace of the Church of Christ, who needlessly separates the people of God, who fights those who are fighting the Lord's battles, anybody who does that carries a dread responsibility and will pay a heavy price. You will notice where the Ephraimites paid their price. The flower of their young manhood was cut off. 42,000. Scholars debate whether it was 42,000 or 2,040. Either way, it was a large number of young men that they had cut off. And I tell you that preachers and churches that won't fight the battle of our day, but simply snipe at those who do, will end up losing the best of their young people. Young Christians can only be made strong in an atmosphere where churches are standing for God, going through with God, learning more of the Savior, serving Him wholeheartedly, and are willing to get into the front line of the battle. As I say, we could learn a lot of lessons. But I want us to pass over the general and come right down to this particular item, Shibboleth. A word that was the difference between life and death. Not only a word, but actually, when we come to Shibboleth, we're thinking of a place where life and death hang on one letter. Shibboleth. As you look at this, I'll never forget this part because the general meaning in English is always negative. There can be shibboleths that are perfectly good and scriptural, God's shibboleths, and there are shibboleths that are of men. We'll look at them both. As I look at this passage and just isolate this, say now, shibboleth. I realize that there are many times when human opinion is imposed as a divine standard. These are man's shibboleths. Say now, shibboleth, and if you don't pronounce this exactly right, if you don't say what I want you to say as I want you to say it, then I'll have nothing to do with you. I have to be careful what I say here tonight. I want to be more like Gideon and be a politician and not like Jephthah, a throat cutter. Most of you are from a Baptist background. Never worry, when you get to heaven you'll learn and you'll all be free Presbyterians. So never worry. I know Baptists who have come to Greenville and they have gone away in a tantrum. And they've said, we won't let our kids go to school there because they are not being taught sufficiently the Baptist distinctives. That's one side of the coin. Now, I'm a Presbyterian. I know Presbyterians who have fought with us because if you're in among a bunch of fundamentalists, most of whom are Baptists, you can't be emphasizing enough of your Presbyterian distinctives. There's the two ends of the spectrum. And then you've got the queer bunch in the middle, and you young people get ready for this, you may meet with this in London. You have the picture of Baptists from Scotland who picket free Presbyterians because they're having fellowship with American Baptists. Say now, shibboleth. When you raise your peculiar interpretation, when you raise your non-fundamental distinctive to the level of a mighty fundamental of the faith revealed by God unmistakably in His Word, when you broaden the ground of separation so that you start to separate from men from whom God will not separate, you're putting yourself in the wrong. The psalmist said with delight that he was a friend of all those, a companion of all those that feared the Lord's name.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.